Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. It's time for Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 83 for January 14th, 2009. The Scrunchies. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. From Petaluma, California, on a beautiful summer day, I'm Leo Laporte.
From Toronto, Ontario, Canada, on a chilly, chilly winter day, I'm Amber MacArthur.
It's the same date for both of us, by the way, but for some reason, nature's decided to bless us with summer-like weather here. It was 81 degrees yesterday.
Yes, I saw you bragging on Twitter, Leo.
That's something like 23 or something, 24, some ridiculous number.
Let's just say that it's above freezing, so it's pretty good.
Wasn't it like minus 10 for a week in Toronto?
Yeah, probably. It was pretty chilly, but actually what's happening over the next few days is it's going to be even colder. We're going into a cold front. And, for example, today I think it was about zero, but with the wind chill tonight, it's going down to minus 15. And then over the next 3 days, it's going down to like minus 17, minus 19. So colder than our usual weather. I feel like I'm a meteorologist right now.
I just did a weather podcast. This is the funniest thing ever. It's called Weather Brains, and it's five television meteorologists. They've had 155 episodes.
Oh, cool.
And they sit around, they talk weather, they tell weather stories. It's the funnest thing you ever saw. It's hysterical.
That's very cool.
Weatherbrains.com.
That's so much fun. You know what I saw recently? I don't know what news station it is in the U.S., but somewhere they actually have guests come in who, I think I saw this on 60 Minutes. They have guests come in to do the weather on Fridays or something like that. And I thought it was hilarious. Like they had the coach of a football team come in. And
how do they do, though, I wonder? I mean, that's hard to do that green screen stuff.
They did okay. It was pretty amazing. And it's kind of funny. I think a lot of news stations should do that. It'd be hilarious if you knew every Friday that all of a sudden they were just going to have some random guests come in and do the weather. I would start watching.
Especially if they did badly. You don't want them to do it. You want them to screw up, right? It'd be fun.
No, you really want them to screw up. But if they drag someone off the street, because I'm sure that's a very difficult job in terms of reading the green screen and everything. But
yeah, in here, it's going to be cold. And I could just have a hysterical.
Oh, it would be so much fun.
Yeah.
They should do more stuff like that because it's the only piece of news you can really mess up and people don't necessarily care all that
much. It's not
much.
Not that important.
Not really.
Well, I hope you're staying warm with all this cold weather.
Yes, I'm staying very warm, and
I'm sure you want to go back to Florida as quick as you possibly can.
Yeah, I'll be getting there soon enough. Don't you worry. Usually around April, I find a reason to go there for as long as possible. Yeah. So, I don't mind the cold weather. I mean, it's not too, too bad. I'd like it if it's sunny. That's my big thing.
The funny thing is, for all the time that I spent in Toronto, I don't think I ever got weather like this. I mean,
no.
I was for 4 years, I guess I was getting unusually good weather.
Yeah, you know what? I don't remember there being snow like this. I mean, you drive around Toronto now and there's big snow banks and piles of snow everywhere. And that's, I mean, when I first moved here, you'd get a bit of snow, but then it would kind of melt and no real accumulation at all.
Wow. Well, global warming.
Yes.
As odd as that sounds, climate change can also be warmer, right?
Or cooler. Yeah.
Cooler. I'm saying cooler. Warmer or cooler.
I mean, yeah.
The fact that it's warmer here might be, in fact, why it's cooler there. We don't know.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Leo.
I should have asked those weather guys yesterday.
I know. I think that's hilarious.
Well, I said, I tell them it's really appropriate that I should be on the show today because we're getting the weirdest weather we've ever had all over the country.
And then I think when I lived in San Francisco for 3 years, it was the coldest 3 years of my life.
Oh, no,
it was
really?
Never warm.
Well, that's what Mark Twain apparently once said, the coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco.
I know.
Famous, remember
that.
Famous line. So tell us all about your life. What's going on with Amber MacArthur?
Just busy doing a bunch of different things. I try not to think about them at all together because my head might explode. So
I did my
I think of
keynote and
them
I thought of you
at
when I did
silos.
It. I was
I
really
know.
Trying to channel Amber MacArthur in my keynote, and it went very well.
Did it go well? I was reading on Twitter how you said that you didn't run away afterwards. That was a
no.
good sign.
Well, sometimes have you ever? Maybe you haven't, but I have. Like most memorably, I was talking to Jennifer about it because she was there. The ones she's only seen me give a speech once, and it was to HBO. We went. Oh man, it was so nice. They invited us down to Palm Beach, and we stayed at the Breakers. We had three Aww. Wonderful days. They paid me a huge amount of money to give a speech, and the whole thing was a horrible, horrible flop. I had all sorts of problems with it. The keynote wouldn't. Oh, it was just a mess. And you know, they invited me because they'd seen me give a speech in L.A. to this cable group, and they were very impressed. And after the speech, it's God, this is humiliation. Nobody came up to talk to me, and I just kind of slunk off. And she gave me the check, and it was without many words. And then I was gone, and you just know. Oh, I bombed.
I'm sure it wasn't that bad, Leo.
I bombed. So I said, you know, that's kind of a sign that you didn't do so well is if nobody comes to talk to you after the speech.
If there's not a lot of questions. Well, sometimes I think that I bomb when I'm speaking. And then at the end of it, if I get a chance to actually see a recording of the speech, it makes me feel better because I think all these weird things can go on in your head. And then you watch it from, you know, just have that distance there. And it definitely helps a lot. Except you pick up on all those things that they're like crutches that you have, like different words that you use all the time. And you're like, oh, I got to stop doing that.
Yeah, I've avoided watching the video of this speech. Somebody quicked it and I have avoided. I don't really want to see it, but I feel like it went well. Nobody, you know, nobody left. There was a huge crowd. It was 800 or 900 people. Nobody walked out. They laughed occasionally, and there was pretty much silence. There wasn't a lot of rustling or shifting around during, you know, the important heavy to do stuff. So I think it went well. You know, anyway, I survived, and
That's
I knew I
good.
Would feel much better today having done it.
Yeah, for sure. So when you were doing your actual speech, Leo, you used a lot of the stuff that Craig Severson did, right?
Craig, I hired Craig to do some slides for me because he does such good slides. But I wanted to use B-Docs. You know about B-Docs?
No.
Oh, you should get B-Docs. It is a B-E, like Bumblebee.
Okay.
And I found out about it on, it's B-Docs.com. I found out about it on Mac Break Weekly because it's a Mac OS X program. It does timelines, 3D timelines that you can insert into your speeches.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I wanted, if I'd had time, I would have done it.
Yeah.
Cause I did some timeline stuff and next time I'll use B-Docs, but B-Docs is kind of amazing. You might want to take a look at it for your future. I think it integrates with Keynote.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So how long was your speech? Was it an hour?
It was an hour. And the thing is, it's such a large audience, there was no questions. And that's why I had Craig do some slides, because normally I don't, as you know, I don't work with slides. After that horrible HBO experience, I stopped working with slides because they, you know, they can take you away from your speech and they can take the audience away. They spend all the time reading the slides. So, but I thought with a room this big, I need to have something more than just my big old face on the screen. So,
sure.
And Craig is the best. Craig Severson, who was the pod grunt, the video grunt. He stopped doing that, by the way.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Too bad.
He's kind of an expert in instructional media, and he did some very nice, more graphical. It wasn't bullets. You know, I could do bullets. It wasn't a lot of text. It was more graphical illustrations of the concept. So it really helped out a lot. It was very useful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's
well, I'm glad you got through it, Leo.
Yeah, that's all I can say. I'm glad I got through it.
So I don't know if you attended the Crunchies, but that's our first news story for today.
No, I have a story about that, too. I couldn't make it to the Crunchies because we had friends visiting. So they had a stream of it, right? So I went there early and there's nothing going on. Did you watch the stream?
No, I didn't.
So there's nothing going on, but you're allowed to sit on the stream. So I just left it open. Friends came over. We were talking. All of a sudden, I hear the biggest ruckus from the other room and this alarm. Going off, and I thought, what the heck? And Jennifer's jumping up and down. The friends are going, what is there a fire? What's that? It sounded like a big fire alarm. And I realized, oh, it's the Crunchies. I left my laptop open with the video. I guess the sound was on pretty loud. And they start off with a pretty funny taped video. And that's what it was. So,
oh no,
I didn't get to see him, but it sounds like it was a good event.
Yeah, it was the second annual event that they were holding for the Crunchies, and it seemed like it was a lot of fun. I think they had 900 people there, and I think the list of winners is kind of interesting. We should kind of just scan down it to see who won what, because we've had some of these people on the show before.
I'll tell you what, I'll read the nominees.
Okay.
And then you tell us, and the Crunchy goes to.
Okay, let's do it.
This is TechCrunch does this. Jason is part of it, Calacanis. Mike Arrington leads it. So best application or service. And these are all web apps, right? Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Get Satisfaction, which I love. It's that Twitter uses it. But we're thinking of setting it up as well for a Twit. Google Reader. Minted. I'm not sure what Minted is like that. Isn't that statistics?
I don't know. Let's see.
It's not Mint. Mint is the one that's
Wedding invitations.
Wedding invitations. Okay. Meebo, mm-hmm. which is the chat thing. MySpace Music and Yelp, which is that recommendations engine, which I love.
And the Crunchy goes to Google Reader.
Not very innovative, but certainly heavily used.
Yes, it's heavily used.
Do you use it for your reader, your news reader?
I used to use it quite a bit. I don't use it so much anymore. But, I mean, if you're a Google user and you have Gmail and Google Calendar running, I mean, you can't really go wrong with using Google Reader. The integration with all those services is pretty good.
Do you? Now, here's the thing. I don't think people use news readers much anymore. Do you?
No, I don't. Because what I really found is I never get to all of the content.
Right.
So
right.
As much as I'd like to, I don't really get to all of the content. So I tend to just pick a few sites where I go. There's probably 6 or 8 different websites I visit all the time. And then I tend to get to a lot of the links that I'll review off of Twitter or other social sites or through email or whatnot.
Exactly. I use NetNewsWire, which is a standalone, very good Mac a news reader from the same people who do, they have a, NewsGator. So they do the NewsGator platform for Windows. It's very good. It, you know, automatically updates your subscriptions. You can use it on different platforms. But there's 4,000 articles to read. It's just too much.
Yeah. It's just too much.
And I don't even subscribe to that much stuff.
Then you feel so you're behind. And
I got a new theory. This actually goes with my new theory of information. You want to hear it?
I would love to.
You don't have much choice. I'm sorry.
I have the
I'm
right answer.
I'm talking it today.
Though.
I am talking. I'm sorry. So my new theory of information, and it comes from podcasts, watching podcasts. If you put out a lot of podcasts and people download them, I mean, a ton of, like as we do, they start to, at some point, there's this fatigue. Well, I can't keep up. And you just stop listening completely. You mm-hmm. give up. Whereas if you do it as a stream, same number, same amount of content that people tune into when they feel like it, they never feel like they're behind. They always feel like there's content there. This is one of the reasons we're doing streaming audio, video, and text now. I think people have changed their habits. It used to be they felt like they wanted all the information, and then they realized rapidly they couldn't get it all. So now we're more interested in Twitter, real-time streams that we dip into at will when we want to. Confident in the idea that if it's a really big story, we won't miss it because it'll appear.
I think that's true. And I also think there's an element there where everything these days, because of the stream, seems old
right.
very quickly. So, for instance, I had someone email to me today and say, hey, have you seen the Mac Wheel promo from The Onion? And we featured that last week on Net at Night. And they said, I'm not sure if it's old or not. And then I started to write, oh, that's really old. And then I'm thinking,
it's not really old. It's a week old.
It's amazing that you're just the shift that you have.
You can't. So this is my, I think this is all shifted. And it comes from the fact that people feel guilty if they get behind. So nobody wants to collect information anymore. We don't want readers. We want to watch live streams. I watch that live. We talked about this before, the real-time feed from Friend Feed. I love that. Because
yeah.
I feel like if it's a bigger story, it'll come over this scrolling feed at some point.
Or yeah, you'll see it at
right.
some point.
And I think that that's ultimately what we're doing with the live stream at live.twit.tv will be more appealing to people than the downloaded. We're always going to offer downloads. Because then if you really want to hear it and pay attention to it, you can. But really, there's so much information now that it's better just to say, oh, well, here's a live stream. Tune in when you want it.
Yep.
Don't you think?
I would agree. I would agree with you. Yes.
I think that's news readers are going to go the way of the buggy whip.
The buggy whip.
Yeah. All right. Next. Best tech. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. Just I probably wouldn't use the buggy was.
Well, I'm an old guy. I remember those days.
I might say an 8-track, maybe.
8-track, okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Thanks for making me feel really old. Best technology innovation or achievement? Why don't you read the nominees and I'll read.
Okay. The one. Facebook Connect, ooh. Google Friend Connect, Google Chrome, Windows Live Mesh, Swipe, and Yahoo Boss.
What is Swipe? I don't know what Swipe is.
I don't know what Swipe like is. That's Skype why I liked this list. There were a few things on here I wasn't very familiar with.
Facebook Connect is what we talked about last week, and I finally got it working on my blog, and I love it, where you can use your Facebook credentials to do commenting. Google Friend Connect is similar.
That's my guess.
Google Chrome is the Google browser, which will be out for Mac and Linux soon, next few months. Thank goodness. It's been out for Windows for a while. Windows Live Mesh is their networking initiative. Cloud computing initiative. Swipe. Mm-hmm. What is Swipe?
Swipe. I just get a dead link when I go there.
Great. Okay, that's good. And Yahoo Boss. Yahoo Boss is like you get to customize. It's an API to the Yahoo search engine, so you can use their search engine on your site, customizing your own special search experience. Actually, Google has something like that too. We're using it on the Twit site, where you customize where it looks and what the links are and stuff like that. Cool. And the winner is Windows Live Mesh. Huh?
Yeah, I was a little surprised about that one. You know, I wonder as we go through this list, I wondered how they came to a decision about the winners, because it wasn't an online vote, I don't think. Like, I guess it must have been a panel or something. That's the feeling I get, because there's a lot of big companies who won.
Yeah, that's usually a sign, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have given it to Mesh, but probably Steve Gilmore was lobbying hard for that. We haven't seen Mesh live up to its promise yet. I mean, it's nothing right now. It's not. It's just kind of a synchronization platform.
Yeah, I would have chosen Google Friend Connect. We should need to have our own picks, Leo.
Yeah. We should do that. We could do the MacArthur's, MacArthur Grants. No, that might be confusing.
Leo Burr, just stick with that.
The Leo Burrs.
Yeah.
I want a Leo Burr.
Goes to, so for best design, they had Animoto, Cool Iris, Friend Feed, Infectious, Lala, and Slide Rocket.
Friend Feed, I know and love. Animoto, you and I have interviewed and love.
Mm-hmm.
They just added a new feature, Animoto did, that you can choose the speed of your animations. So they have fast, medium, slow. I always thought they were a little fast, so I tried slow and I love it. So if you want to kind of more enjoy the pictures. So Animoto is the one that takes your pictures, turns it into an animation. Cool Iris is a scanning software.
It actually gives you a really cool way to view media in your browser.
Oh.
Have you ever tried it? It's beautiful.
That's really the old PicLens.
Is it PicLens?
Yeah, they got renamed. Okay.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's nice.
Oh,
I
love PicLens. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a heavy browser extension that bogged my Firefox down, so I turned it off eventually.
Infectious
sounds dangerous. Lala's the star of Tiki Bar. I would give her an award, but not for best design. And no, it must be something else. And Sly Rocket.
Yeah, it's a music, some type of music engine as well.
La 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 la. And the winner is the crunchy goes to Cool Iris. Runner up Animoto. All right, I think Cool Iris is not going anywhere. To be honest with you,
I would have picked Animoto for the winner.
Yeah. I love Animoto.
I know. Maybe we should just pick some that we want to do because it's going to take us forever.
Oh, yeah. We got like 18 more categories. Let's just do the winners. Best bootstrapped startup, GitHub, which is for programmers. Mm-hmm. And it's very cool. And I agree. Most likely to make the world a better place.
Good guide. I don't even know what this is, but okay.
Kiva was a runner-up. I would have given Kiva an award for sure. But so, Good Guy's natural products.
Yeah.
Ratings of natural, green, and healthy products. Huh.
Yep.
Green is big right now.
That's the thing.
Even if it's not, if nobody really is green, just call yourself green. Like this. This show is green.
This is a green podcast
because you don't have to go anywhere.
I'm not flying anywhere.
Carbon emissions are very low for this show.
They are. That'll be our new tagline, Lee.
Low CO2. Hey, did you see another digression? The Times article saying that a Google search used the same amount of energy as it took to boil a kettle of water?
Yes, I did.
And then Google's response, which was, bosh, it's all bosh.
Yeah.
And in fact, the professor who runs the site said, no, that's not right. The Times made that up. I never said that.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
It's like the Times made it up.
I don't know, but it all made sense because someone was emailing me about using Google and then the power of a kettle, and I just deleted it because it was one of those things that came out of left field until I had read the Times article.
It sold papers.
So it all made sense.
So it uses very little power to do a Google search. Very little power. We use, you know, if you use a gallon of gas in a day, you burn something like 9 kilograms of CO2 in the atmosphere. 9 kilograms compared to the 0.2 milligrams that Google uses. So don't worry about it.
Crazy.
Go ahead and search. Crazy. This is a green podcast.
It is. So for our best enterprise startup, we have Amazon Web Services, Force.com, Google App Engine, Yammer, and Zoho. And the winner is?
Amazon Web Services, AWS. I'd agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
Amazon Web Services lets developers, it's kind of like Google App Engine, only it was first, lets developers use Amazon's cloud computing to create amazing, innovative Web 2.0 products. And I think it's a huge, very important service. Funny that they put Yammer in there. You know that's because they won a TechCrunch, the TechCrunch Award. It's just a Twitter for enterprise. It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It shouldn't even be on that list. Zoho. Zoho. Okay.
Best international startup, eBuddy, Photonauts, OpenX, Vante Privé, and Walla. Maybe that's right.
Walla. Spelled W-U-U-A-L-A. No, I think you said it right. And winner is eBuddy.
eBuddy. So web and mobile messenger everywhere.
Okay.
E-messenger.
I'll take it.
All right. So let's see. There's so many more. So maybe we'll skip down to the best gadget, Leo.
That's good. I like that. Android G1, the Asus EPC, the Flip Mino HD, the iPhone 3G, or the Sling Catcher. All of those are big, huge, very important. I'd have a hard time picking any one. Maybe the EPC because it created that category of netbooks. It's just taken over. But the winner was the iPhone 3G. And yeah, I guess you'd have to say that was the gadget of the year. Easy.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me too
much. I like this. Best time sync. Best time waster site. Mob Wars. My kid plays that like crazy. It's a MySpace add-on. Eyeball, tap range, which is basically from Tapulous. But I don't know why they call it range because it's tap tap revenge. So I don't understand what they're talking about. It's like wrong on the site, isn't it? Tap tap revenge. I'm pretty sure it is.
I don't know.
Zivity and Texas Hold'em, which is also a fun game. Both tap tap revenge and Texas Hold'em are iPhone games. Winner is tap tap revenge. Range.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Why does it say range?
Range. I don't know.
Stupid.
Silly.
Best mobile startup. I agree. Evernote. You bet. Awesome.
Yeah.
Best mobile application.
iMeme Mobile.
Do you use iMeme?
No, I don't.
I would have given it to Pandora.
Yeah, probably me too. This is interesting. The best startup founder went to Evan Williams, Jack Dorsey, Biz Stone from Twitter. So that's kind of a no-brainer, I think.
What do you mean by best? They haven't shown a way to monetize it. It's not a very well-run company. They get hacked. They are a phishing magnet for phishing. I'm not sure I'd say best startup founders. What is best? It depends what they mean by best. I like the startup, the Brett and Sanjeev and Jim and Paul, who started FriendFeed. I think they're doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, and they're the runner-up on the list.
Best startup CEO. Hulu's Jason Kilar was the runner-up. The winner was
Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook.
Of course.
Or Zuckerberg.
Of course.
Yeah. You know what? This is funny. I read an article about this today. I don't know how some of the listeners feel about it, but someone was saying that they didn't really think Facebook was really a startup anymore.
they have so much
money, so many employees, and I thought it was a very good point.
When does it stop being a startup?
I know. That's
Facebook has 150 million users. That's no startup.
That's not a startup. They've got a lot of money. They have hundreds of, probably thousands of employees. So I don't, in my mind, they don't fit the whole startup.
I would say, in fact, Facebook is like Google at this point, where they have such a lead. Their network effect is so strong that you'd be very hard pressed to compete with them. You know, in the early days, you know, Friendster went out of business. MySpace got superseded. I felt like, oh, Facebook, the next guy's going to come along and just eat their lunch. No next guy came along. Facebook's gotten stronger and stronger. And now everybody's on Facebook. Nobody's moving. It's like Twitter. It's like Google. They own it.
Yep. Oh, for sure. I mean, Leo, you'll be happy about the best new startup of 2008. It went to FriendFeed.
I love FriendFeed. Although people have pointed out FriendFeed's growth is kind of stalled right now.
Is it? Yeah, I can see that. And best overall startup. This is the last award. And best overall startup in 2008. The winner goes to you. I'll let you say it, Leo.
Facebook. I have to say it is true. Again, I don't think they're a startup, but I think it's true that they are the clear winner in 2008, aren't they?
I mean, Facebook?
Yeah. In terms of social media?
I think so. I mean, if someone said to me the winner in the social networking category, I would say Facebook. But I just, startup for me, I don't
know.
And maybe it's because we've interviewed a lot of founders of smaller companies that start with just a few employees, that my idea of a startup is much leaner than the Facebook.
Yeah. No, they're not a startup. Yeah.
Business right now.
But
so.
In a way, the fact that they've been so dominant this year really says they made it. Now, is Twitter still a startup? Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still definitely still a startup. Okay, Leo, so that's it for the Crunchies. Maybe next year we'll do our own little award show. We should do that at the same time. Just you and me.
Regis and Kelly have their award show because for the same reason. Nobody's ever given them an award. They call it the Golden Stool Award.
Oh, really?
Which I really don't want to win. Yeah, because they sit on stools at the show.
Leo, we should have our own Net at Night award show. I'm going to write this on my list of things to do.
Oh, great. Just, no big deal.
No, Leo, you don't have to do anything.
Just one more thing to do.
You don't have to do anything. The award show is as simple as us getting on the show
and saying we give an award to.
We'll just steal the categories from another award show and then just say which company
we should
to.
Because we've been complaining. I've complained about the Webbies.
I know.
We're now complaining about tech, the Crunchies. I think we could do a better job. We know better than anyone what's really happening out there.
It's true. And you know what? There are so many different awards that are given out by bloggers, by, you know, small organizations. They come up with their own online competition. So we should have our own awards.
Hildegard says we should name it after you and call it the Sweeties.
The Swedes. I don't know how the Swedes would feel about that, considering I'm not Swedish. No, we have to name it Leo Burr Awards.
The Leo Burrs, okay.
We'll find a better name than that, but I think it's a good idea.
I'm going to
put that in my list of things to do.
Good.
I'll get back in touch with
you. You could do the Command N Awards.
Yeah, we could. But the only thing is, I think that because we've done Net at Night and we sort of look at the broad internet and have had so many people on, it would make more sense to do it on this show.
It feels like we have really been watching this thing evolve. We've been doing this show for 3 years now.
I know. And we've had a lot of company founders on the show, a lot of them who have gone on to do really well, some not so well. So I think it's been fun from that perspective to watch which companies have come out on top.
How about the golden ball award for the exercise ball I sit on?
The golden ball award.
I could gild this ball.
It wouldn't bounce anymore, Leo.
You're right.
No offense or anything.
It'd be a crunchy.
That's like saying I could give someone my iPhone after I throw it in Lake Ontario.
What if we call it the scrunchies?
The scrunchies. Oh, Michael Arrington will come after us, Leo. I'd be a little concerned. That is not good. Actually, wait till you get to our podcast of the week later in the show. And I'm just giving you a little tease right now for it because it will remind you of another podcast. Okay, so our next news story, I don't know if you saw this. It was all over many newspapers online and blogs and Twitter. The Tourism Board in Australia is offering the best blogging/snorkeling job in the world. And the idea is that you apply for the job. You have to apply by, I think, the middle of February. And if you win, you get to go to live for 6 months. You get paid $100,000 on the beautiful Hamilton Island in the Great Barrier Reef. And aside from feeding fish and snorkeling, the big thing they want you to do is to blog about your experience there. So you have to videotape yourself and blog and talk about really taking care of this island.
That would sign me up.
I'm ready to go.
I kind of did that with the Tasmania thing. You know, that was really what I was there to do. I was the new media guy. This is, by the way, a lot of people are doing this now. They realize that getting viral media attention is very valuable. And they also realize we have no idea how to do it. So we've got to get a Justine or an Amber or a Chris Perillo or Robert Scoble. I mean, I think Scoble's been, I mean, he's been all over the world doing that, essentially. Yep. You know, Israel, he went to Israel. I was invited on this trip. Same thing. They brought a bunch of bloggers to Israel. They brought a bunch of bloggers to China. The whole idea being write. Scribble, scribble, scribble. Tell everybody how great we are. And Scoble just, you know, he's like, sure, whatever. he loves everything anyway. Yeah, it's great. I love it. That's great. I love China.
He's the perfect person.
He's perfect for that. So Scoble, you could be snorkeling on Hamilton Island, on the yep. Great Barrier Reef.
I know, isn't that great? So they give you a video camera, all of the tech gear that you need, and you know, $100,000 in your living expenses are totally paid for 6 months. I think it is the best job in the world, the best blogging job in the world. That's for sure.
Do you think they're actually gonna like give that to somebody?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though, because I saw the article everywhere, and then I keep trying to go to their website, and it's been down all day because I think people who are at work are like, this job is so much better than my job.
$100,000 for 6 months work? You're living in paradise? Now, do they provide an internet connection?
I'm sure they do, I would guess. And the website is islandreefjob.com, and like I said, I still am trying to go there right now, and I still can't get there.
I would just move the whole Twit network there.
Yeah, you should apply.
They want publicity. I can give them publicity.
Yep.
Move the whole dang network there. Oh, yeah, it's down. You can't get there.
I know. I think it's just getting slammed. Every time I was reading anything online, I ran across this article. I know. I know. Now you're really distracted.
2 million people are applying for one job.
Yeah.
Best job in the world.
Oh, how do you stand out in that group?
Did you see that? This is the second time Google's done this. They've changed their little icon, their favicon on the toolbar.
I know. And it's funny because I noticed that they did it. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I just didn't notice before that, it had changed. And then I read an article about it today that they changed the little favicon. And of course, anything Google does like that makes some sort of headlines.
So
it's very colorful now.
Because by changing their favicon, they're increasing their energy consumption to 2 kettles of tea.
Two kettles. Now you just burned through 2 kettles
two
of tea.
Way to go. See, so I still have the little blue G, which was new like last year. They just did that last year.
Yep. But they've had a bunch of different favicons.
Have they?
I mean, it's just like when they decorate their homepage for certain events. You know, it seems like they're not stuck on that one idea that they just, you know, have one logo and they never steer away from it, which I think is kind of cool because I've worked on some branding projects and you know, oftentimes people say, okay, don't mess with your identity at all. You use this logo and that's it, or use this favicon and that's it. But they seem to have that little more creativity within the company.
Is that good, you think, or not?
I think they can get away with it. Yeah. I don't know if it's good or not, but I think they can do whatever they want, really, at this point. I'm just not sure everybody can do it. If you started small, I would say no, but it's fun for all of us kind of watching.
Well,
it gives them more personality, right?
Nike's going to be the swoosh forever, right? You don't mess with that. Yep. Coca-Cola hasn't changed its logo. New York Times hasn't changed its logo. I mean, if you've got a good logo, we're never changing the Twit logo. That's for sure.
No. Yeah, that's a great logo.
A good logo is very, very valuable. And yeah, you spend a lot of money trying to get people to remember it. But the favicon is not the logo.
No. The favicon is obviously just something that they can mess around with a little bit. But I still think they get a little creative with the Google. Well, I don't know if you call it the logo on their homepage. It's really not their logo, but they seem to be more open to playing around with it.
You know, Google has a new boss just announced today. Are you excited?
No, who is it?
They've been looking for someone. Jerry Yang, who has been running Yahoo into the ground, finally said, okay, I give up. I'm going to retire or move upstairs. We're going to do a search. Sue Decker's been running the company. Now, she was brought in. She's a merger and acquisitions specialist. So the thinking was she was brought in to help sell the company off. She is going to be leaving, and Carol Bartz is going to take the CEO job, take over from Jerry Yang. Carol ran Autodesk for many years. She's 60 years old. She's not young. She's not hip. She's not Web 2.0. But what she is, and I asked Dvorak about this on Sunday when the rumor was hot that this might happen. He said she's a good choice because she is an administrator. She runs a tight ship. And right now, he said, that's what Yahoo needs. They have a lot of products. They're spread all over the map. They need somebody who can get the trains to run on time, who can run a tight ship.
That makes sense. Well, you said Google had a new boss. That's what
I'm sorry. Yahoo.
I was like, wow.
What?
Quickly.
No.
I just read every...
Slap. Slap me around.
That's me slapping Leo.
Hit me with your scrunchie. That was wrong.
No. I know what you mean now. At first, I was like...
Yeah, Yahoo. Not Google. Yahoo. Google will never get a new boss. They're running, I think, quite well. I think Eric Schmidt will stay there for some. But this is Yahoo's. This will be Yahoo's third CEO in as many years. Because remember, Terry Semel was running the company. The Microsoft acquisition rumors 1 year ago surfaced. Terry retired. Jerry Yang, the founder of Yahoo, took back over. And really wasn't. Not only did he kill the Microsoft acquisition, but he ran the stock price into the ground and wasn't able to turn the company around in any appreciable way. So I guess the board's saying, okay, next.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. That's a challenging job.
Oh, no kidding. Well, at first when you were talking about, when you mentioned Google and then you mentioned Yahoo, I was thinking you were talking about Joshua from
Joshua
Delicious.
Schachter is going to Google. Yeah, that's interesting news.
I know, because obviously for people who are familiar with Joshua, he sold Delicious to Yahoo. And now I think today was his first day maybe working at Google, but he hasn't really come out with what exactly he's going to be doing there.
Yeah, I think this is very interesting. I follow Joshua on Twitter. I don't know how, because he has the blocked announcements where you have to be, he has to approve you.
Yep.
And, so I immediately went there to see if he would announce anything, and he was very cagey, but others did announce it for him. And I saw Yuri, who founded Jaiku, said, oh, I'm really thrilled I'm going to get to have lunch with Joshua more than once a month. I wonder if he'll join in that group. Would make a lot of sense. He only has 241 followers, Joshua does. But he never, it's funny, he never announced it, even though it was a private feed. He never announced it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, Leo, the last news item I have to mention before we get into our app of the week, our video of the week, and our podcast of the week is I just wanted to bring up Facebook Connect again, because Mashable has a really good article talking about the top 10 great implementations of Facebook Connect, and it mentions Discuss as well. And I know you kind of mentioned it earlier on, because I wanted to ask you, because I keep going to your blog to see if
it's there.
It is there now. Okay.
You know, it was something. I did everything right, but for some reason, Discus, it didn't take. So I turned it off and turned it on again, and then it worked.
Okay.
And I wanted to do, you know, we have a new media wiki, Twit Wiki, which is wiki.twit.tv. And I wanted to turn it on there, but I broke the wiki. Something went wrong with it. But that's another one that's really cool. You can use it on Wikipedia or a Wikimedia installation as well. But I love it. Having it on the comments. So if you go to, say, leoville.com and you want to make a comment, you could create a Discus account. I allow you to comment anonymously.
Yep.
Or you could press the Facebook Connect button. And if you have a Facebook account, it just connects, puts your Facebook picture in there and everything. I think that's a nice feature.
Okay, great. So it is working now.
Yeah, literally today. In fact, I just put up a blog post on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrilled. Because it's just
awesome.
So slick. You know, it's funny. It's everything OpenID was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's just not open.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a big missing piece.
Except for the open part.
Yeah. But it works. That's the thing. And it's so awesome. Easy. You click a button. Everybody has a Facebook account now.
Yeah, I'm just looking through your comments, and a lot of people are using it already. That's very cool.
Well, I think it increases the number of comments, because if it's easy to register for commenting, everybody does it. Yeah, I would say half of the new comments have that little F in the corner, which means it's from a Facebook person.
And I think if you don't have to take the time to put up a picture of yourself and do all of that, I think people are more tempted to use something like this. It just personalizes your comments, which is what people want.
That's good. And this happened because I was using Discus. Or Discuss, which we interviewed Discuss. Was it Johnny Hamm, who's the guy who did it? We interviewed him a while ago. And I love it. And one of the nice features now, okay, so say Theo Jones here, who made a comment, he's on Facebook. I can also look at any comment. As long as they use his Facebook Connect system, I can look at any other comments he makes on any other blog. And if you really like this guy, suddenly he's got a following. He's created kind of a horizontal following based on commenting on vertical blogs. I think this is exactly what community and Web 2.0 is all about.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Hey, I don't know if you had a chance to scan down the Mashable article I just mentioned, but the third best implementation of Facebook Connect is for MediaWiki. And so you can get the plugin for MediaWiki. So if you're running
I tried.
Oh, you tried to do that? It doesn't work?
Yeah, I crashed. Well, I'll figure it out. I crashed the wiki.
Leo, you should be the guy who they send software to see if they break it or not.
Yeah, it was down for a little bit. But the problem is because we've had if I'd started it from the beginning, it would have been better than trying to do it after the fact, because I already have people with accounts and so forth. Aww. But yeah, no, it's really I love this. I think, and at the same time, you know me, I'm a big open standards guy. I kind of hate to see a closed standard become what OpenID was supposed to be, but it just works, and OpenID never did, and everybody's using it. You know, I use it on a site. I sent you the link to this, Storyteller. Have you seen this? It's a Belgian company. There's a number of sites like this, storytlr.com. If you go to Leoville, Storyteller, Leoville.story, storytlr.com. They use it as well. This is a live streaming company. So you sign up for a free account, and then you add all your feeds, kind of like FriendFeed. But it can be integrated into your blog, and it can be, you know, kind of your live stream of everything that you do. And people can comment on it using Discuss and FriendFeed Connect. Isn't that cool? So whenever I post something, it goes in here.
Nice.
So it's kind of like a blog. In fact, it even looks like WordPress, the template I'm using. So it's almost like another blog that's a blog of my blog posts and other posts.
That's real.
It's very
meta. Right now.
Yeah. Very meta. But you know, it pulled in stuff going back to 2004.
Holy cow, that's great.
Yeah. So, that's it pulled in all my stuff that I've ever done. And then the other thing, it has this Storyteller feature, which is really the whole point of it, which is you can then say, okay, I was in France December. I want to make a story about my trip to France. So pull in all of the elements from those dates. And then, so as you see at the top, there are two tabs at the Leo stream, as I call it. There's a live stream, but there's also a stories tab. You could have a stories tab about the cruise or about the trip to France and then it would pull all the pictures, all the tweets, all the blog posts, all the RSS feeds, everything from that range together. So you could see all the, you know, what was I doing on that trip to France? And it's in chronological order. So presumably it would almost tell a story about the trip to France if I had, you know, put enough content up there.
Gotcha.
I'll try it. I haven't done a story yet, but I think it's kind of interesting. And that's cool. Free. I like it there. I've tried a number of these live stream sites, but this is one I really like. storytlr.com. We're going to take a break, come back with your app of the week and...
All right.
Your podcast of the week, but right now it's time for our audio book of the week from audible.com. Have I got you listening to audiobooks yet, Amber?
No, I'm supposed to be getting a sign up from you at some point.
I still haven't sent it to you?
I'll harass you for it.
I'll send it to you. I'm sorry. I thought I'd sent it to you. I think we're a little worried that it might not work in Canada.
I think that was one of the issues, but...
we'll figure it out. I'm going to get you some audiobooks because I think you would really, really like them. Audible.com/night, 51,000 books. Tell me a book that you're reading right now that you really like. I know you liked Outliers.
Yeah, I just finished that.
That's right on now, Audible. That's on Audible. You can download that.
I just started Anti-Cancer, A New Way of Life.
Are you worried about cancer?
No, but I like books that talk about food. And a lot of it is about what diet you should be eating.
Oh,
so I've always been interested in that. So, you know, a lot of the foods that you should cut out of your diet. So, you know, you should, people think margarine is really good, but in fact, it's better for you to eat butter, you know, those types of things. I'm sure people will disagree with this, but that's a lot of what the book is about. Just really comparing what type of foods you should be eating and what you shouldn't be eating if you're worried about cancer at all. And I'm not worried about it, but I'm, like,
well,
I said, I'm always interested in
nutrition.
If it's
preventable by diet, then you should absolutely do something about it. There are a number of books about cancer. Cancer, Discovering Your Healing Power is one. What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Breast Cancer. There are a lot. Tropic of Cancer by Henry Miller. There are a lot of books about all kinds. Actually, 158 results if you search. See,
wow.
That's basically the idea is this is a bookstore online. All of them are audio, which is fantastic because you can listen and learn while you're doing things like driving in the car, working in the garden, exercising. I know you run regularly. Perfect for a runner. You just put it on your iPod or your iPhone or your iRiver or your Kindle or almost any device. And listen along. And, you know, before you know it, you've read a whole book in almost no time at all. A Guide to Alternative Self-Healing Techniques for Cancer. What to Know About Cancer, Thyroid Cancer. Here's one for you. This is by Fran Drescher. Remember the nanny?
Yes.
It's called Cancer Schmancer.
Nice.
Let's listen to that. I love Fran's voice. It's just so great. Here's
great.
Fran Drescher, Cancer Schmancer.
I don't think we truly realize the impact that experience had on us. But in fact, we were never the same again. Afterwards, we were riddled with fears, suffocated by codependency. It wasn't all bad, though. We had great times, happy times, and a deeply committed friendship. But our greatest compatibility was in how we complemented each other's neuroses. He was a person of many needs, and I needed to be needed.
This is a book about her cancer diagnosis, but also about how she found true love.
Ooh, see, that's what I think you'll find with a lot of these cancer books, even the one I mentioned that I'm reading right now, is they're really stories of individuals who have fought cancer and who have kind of come out of it and are living healthier lives, happier lives. And I know not all stories are obviously that positive, but they really are stories about amazing individuals who have really beat the odds.
Well, there you go. I'm going to recommend Cancer Schmancer. You know, she's trying to get the Senate seat in New York.
I know.
She might get it. Senator Nanny.
I can just see CNN right now waiting for to throw that headline across.
They probably have the CG already designed. Cancer Schmancer, one of many books you can get for free. Just go to audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. Sign up for a gold account. You'll get a credit toward a book. And whether you stick around or not, that book is yours to keep. We love Audible. We know you love Audible. Why don't you give them a try? audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. Now, Amber MacArthur.
Oh, our app of the week is actually, it's just a tiny little application. I'm not saying that it's necessarily good, but you sent it to me and I'm interested in it. So the tweet by Snail Mail, I think this is funny.
This is the funniest thing I ever saw
it's
in my
funniest,
life.
I still can't figure out why I would ever use this.
Well, if you're on an island called Hamilton on the Great Barrier Reef and you want to tweet, you can print out a little form. You go to tweetbysnailmail.com and you print out a little form in which you write your tweet and your Twitter username, and then you send it to tweetbysnailmail, 661 Massachusetts Avenue, Suite 10, Arlington, Massachusetts, 02476. Your tweet will be posted in the order it is received, undoubtedly several days later.
I know, but you can send an anonymous tweet where I'm kind of like, what is the point of that?
Well, wait a minute. Now I got another tweet application that's very cool.
Okay.
SecretTweet.com. Do you know about that?
No.
Oh, you got to follow SecretTweet.com. People are posting anonymously their deepest, darkest secrets. Look at here. Secret number 9,482. Anonymous, by the way. I quit smoking 7 years ago. For the last year, I've been smoking in secret. Why did I do this to myself? Secret number 9478. Thought I might be pregnant. Took the test. I'm not. And I'm not disappointed.
Leo, go to 9461, please.
I am secretly going to the gym, but I tell people I'm losing weight without any kind of effort. My favorite was, I'm in love with a man who's older than my own parents. I can't understand why, but every time I think of him, I get crazy.
This is like a bad Harlequin novel.
Follow these guys. It's secret tweet. You can post them and they just, you know, you just type in your tweet and the code and it'll go up on Twitter. And I follow them on it's at secret tweet on Twitter.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's great because every once in a while, you know, about every 10, 15 minutes, I'll get just one of these weird, like this one, 9326. I'm high off my wife's OxyContin right now.
Oh, my gosh. This is hilarious.
When new customers are rude for no reason, I tell them we don't have their medication just so they'll go somewhere else.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Isn't this great?
Oh, they have to approve them. I just sent a tweet about you, Leo.
What? And they didn't approve it?
No, there's 425 tweets ahead of mine. They're reading as fast as they can.
It's got 5,000 followers right now. I think this is... Remember, in fact, it's a constant, a perennial Webby Award winner, The Secrets website. What was the name of that? I can't remember.
Post Secret?
Yeah, postsecret.com. Same idea. Yeah. But I think it really melds with Twitter perfectly.
That is really funny. I like it a lot.
So I want
you to follow them
to go there and post your secret tweets. And Amber, I'm going to post a secret tweet about you too. See if you can figure out which one it is.
I'm going to have to stay up all night and wait for it. That is really funny. I love it. That's a good one.
It's it's very wrenching when you see this. So tweet by mail or secret tweet. A couple of Twitter applications.
Very funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So we have just two more links. The first one for our video of the week. I don't think it's necessarily the best video in the world, but the evolution of dance. If you remember that at one point was the number one video of all time on YouTube where the guy got up and went through a series of different dances. Well, he's come out with the evolution of dance 2. I know. And it's funny. I read a really hilarious blog post on youtubereview.wordpress.com where they're saying you really can't recreate the magic of your first viral video.
No. And that's everybody from the Uma Uma guy to the laser kid have learned this. And so now this guy is a comedian who does this as part of his act. Is it the same dance?
No, it's not the same dance, but it's a series of new songs. And I guess I read in this article that it had taken him a ton of money to get the rights because this time he went through and got the rights for all the different songs.
Oh, he didn't do that last time?
No, so there's a lot more sort of corporate, there's more of a corporate side of this. I think he's trying to make money on it as well because he didn't make a lot of money on the first video. So kind of a funny story.
He's not as good a dancer as he was the first time. Looks like the first time he was like really like surprisingly good for a guy who has a body type more like mine than yours. But this one, it looks like it's like how I might dance.
Well, it's really funny because when I was reading the article, they said something very interesting. They said the first time we saw it, we were thinking of this guy as someone who just kind of got up on stage and, you know, casually doing this. And now all of a sudden, it's really kind of forced, right? You know, he's recreated it. So, you know, he's spent time and effort, and it takes away from the spontaneity of all of it.
Boy, that's really important, isn't it? I think to any viral video, and it's why it's so hard to do a sequel viral video. Is it just doesn't have the spontaneity of it. There's no surprise.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no surprise at all.
Which really is an interesting lesson. I mean, people want to recreate viral videos. They want to come back and do it again, and it sounds like you can't.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Is there any, let's think, is there any example of anybody, I know, I'll give you one. Tayson Day's Chocolate Rain.
Yep.
And then he did Cherry Chocolate Rain. And I thought it wasn't maybe quite as big as Chocolate Rain, but it was so over the top.
Yeah.
That people wanted to see it.
Yeah. He did a good job. I mean, I think there are some people who do get away with it, but for the majority, especially if you were sort of a one-hit wonder many years ago, I think it's hard to come back from that. If you continually create videos and, you know, some of them stick, some of them don't, but you do fairly regular videos, I think that's different than just trying to really recreate the past and do something that's exactly the same, which is essentially what this guy is doing.
You know, I like the site that you linked to this on. It's called YouTube Reviewed.
Yeah.
YouTubeReviewed.wordpress.com. So they just review YouTube videos?
Videos, yeah.
And in this case, they're panning this guy's video.
Oh, yeah. They really panned it.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think that's kind of a neat idea. Have you used this before? I mean, is this where you go to find some good videos?
Or? No, I found it on Waxy Links. Oh, okay. I know we've talked about that site before, which I love. So
I may make a habit of visiting this site now, because don't you think we need something like that? Somebody who says, here's the good videos?
Yeah, I think we do. And someone who's honest about it, you know, someone who is okay with kind of ripping them apart if he doesn't think they're good or she doesn't think they're good.
The real...
Hey, we should...
Go ahead.
I was going to say we should try to get this person on the show.
Oh,
that would be
idea.
Kind of fun to see.
Deal. Yeah,
I'll dig into that a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. Yeah, let's figure out who it is. I think that this in the future of media, and this is what I talked a little bit about on the speech. I've always thought this though, that the people who will do well are not necessarily the content creators, but the aggregators or the guides, the people who lead the way. Like you know, you might only be able to make one hit YouTube video. But YouTube Reviewed might have a long-term success by reviewing everybody else's hit videos, by
yeah.
adding value to the existing stream of data.
Yeah, I would agree. And I mean, it, like you said, they're filtering, right? So
right.
I think that's what we all need. We need someone to kind of go through, and so we don't have to necessarily sit around and watch all of the junk that's on YouTube. We can kind of get to the good stuff.
Right, right.
Okay, Leo, our last link. This is my favorite link of the week because it's our podcast of the week, which I always love to do. And this podcast kind of made me laugh. I realized that sometimes I choose very strange podcasts, ones that are just a little more creative. This is from a scientist. He's actually a professor as well at Columbia University Medical Center. And it's a podcast all about viruses. All they talk about is viruses.
Wow. I want to listen to that. I like viruses.
I know. Wow. Not computer viruses.
No. Virus.
Yeah, real virus.
Rhinoviruses.
Exactly.
Ebola virus. This week
yes.
in virology.
I know. Isn't it great?
And it's on, by the way, it's on Ginger Campbell's sciencepodcasters.org site.
Cool. And I think they've done at least a dozen or so episodes so far. It's well produced. And it seems as though the person who sent us the email, Vincent, he loves doing the show and it gives him a chance. He's been studying viruses for more than 30 years. So it gives him the chance to get together with other professionals and talk about viruses.
That's really neat. Well, we tried to get Ginger on the show and she says, I was listening, but my Skype wasn't working. So we should also get Ginger because she has... With her, with this site, she has sciencepodcasters.org. She has aggregated some really good, including Mark Pelletier's Futures in Biotech, which is on this network, some really good podcasts on science. And I've been saying, again, another thing for my speech, it's good to go narrow. Much
yeah.
better to do a virology podcast than to do a science podcast.
Oh, definitely. And this is narrow.
Great. I'm much more interested in somebody who is passionate, crazy about one little slice of the world. That to me is more interesting than a generalist who just covers it all.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So a fun little podcast of the week.
Oh, virology. Well, we won't play any of it. We don't want to make anybody sick, but you might want to listen. It's available through sciencepodcasters.org along with a lot of other ones, including Dentalcast.
Yep. And it's also on iTunes as well.
Great. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to
be on
iTunes.
You can check out on iTunes.
If you're not on iTunes, you're missing out. And you can also go to twiv.tv. He's got TWIV.
I know. That's why it made me laugh.
Vincent Rassaniello and Dick Despommier. Very cool. Very cool.
Twiv.
Amber, always a pleasure seeing you.
I know. It's good to see you too. Good to chat and catch up. So next week we have a guest booked on the show already from Social Text. So we'll have some fun with him.
And I should mention that we do have a podcast now based on the Twit Army. It's yes. If you go to army.odtv.me, you will hear the Twit Army Sound Off podcast.
And that's awesome.
It is. You want to hear just the beginning? Because
yeah,
because the Frogman, I believe on this one does an opening that must be heard to be believed.
This is the.
Isn't that funny? I feel like Gomer Pyle.
Well, die!
All right, you worthless bottom feeders, listen up. Nightingale Trouble.com has some podcasting for you. So drop and give me 50 listens, or I'll make you wish you were never born.
I think that was the Frogman. That is, I'm really pleased they're doing this. It's the Twit Army Sound Off, because, you know, we call our community the Twit Army, and a bunch of great people are doing that. Dan Hendricks is on that episode, Kiwi Nerd on the episode before that, and it's army.odtv.me, and I told it's a rather Canadian show.
Ooh.
Yes. A lot of Canadians.
Must be good.
Yeah. Amber is on CommandN.TV. Man, if you haven't seen Command N in the last month, you're missing one of the best video podcasts. I'm going to say the best video podcast on the interwebs. It is so, so good. You're doing such a good job. Really enjoying the new design, the new look and feel. It's better than commercial television. It's incredible.
There'll be a new site or a new show up soon, I'd say in the next 12 hours.
All right. They're working hard on it. Also, don't forget she's on CP24. That's the home for all of those little Web Nation bits you do now, right?
Yep, and we have been trying to get them online forever, but it looks like the end of the month they will launch online, so we'll get them on iTunes as well.
And AmberMack.com is the blog.
It sure is.
Where you can use Facebook Connect to connect. Thank you, Amber.
I'll be there. Stay warm, stay dry.
Have a great winter week, and we'll see you next week on Net at Night.